swallowed the bitterness bleeding in my mouth. When we arrived at the house, he rounded the car and opened the door for me. I stepped out and ignored him, pushing the front door open. I was so mad I wanted to scream until my vocal cords tore. He had such little faith when it came to me. Who had made him so hardened and skeptical? Probably my father. There was no other way to explain the bad blood between them. Behind me, I heard Wolf instruct his bodyguards to stay out of the house, which was against protocol. He never went against protocol. I rushed to my room, desperate to gather my thoughts and think of a way to tackle this. I didn't stop to think that running away from confrontation may look to him like an admittance. My only sin was sitting somewhere public with Angelo and telling him that he needed to stop texting me, that I wanted to give my future husband a fair chance.
"You can forget about college."
Wolf slammed his phone and wallet against the marble mantel behind me.
"The deal is off."
I turned around sharply, my eyes flaring in disbelief. "I didn't sleep with Angelo!" I railed for the second time. God, he frustrated me to no end. He never once asked me for an explanation or voiced his concern. He just assumed. Wolf stared at me, placid. I ran toward him, pushing his chest. This time, unlike the first and second time I pushed him, he moved backward, just an inch. There was heat in my touch. I wanted to hurt him, I realized, more than he had hurt me. Quantities. "Are you sure you're a lawyer? Because you sure suck at collecting evidence. I did not sleep with Angelo." Third time.
"I saw you in the garden together."
"So what?" I was so upset I couldn't even explain myself properly. I clung to his dress shirt, tugging down and twining my arms around his neck to pull his head down. I pressed my lips to his, desperate to show him that what we had was real, at least for me, and that in my kiss there was something unique, a potion I could never give anyone else. He didn't move or reciprocate. For the first time since I'd met him, he did not demolish whatever stood between us the second I gave him permission to touch me. Normally, whenever I moved an inch toward him, he crossed an ocean, drowning me with kisses and caresses. He devoured me if I let him. This time, his body felt rigid and cold under my fingertips. I took a step back, the dull pain in my chest spreading all over my body. "I like you, Wolf. I don't know why, but I do, okay? You make my body feel different. It's confusing, but it's true." And boy, was it ever. The truest thing I'd ever said. My blush was back in full force, ready to obliterate my face.
"That's very kind of you."
He smiled at me sardonically, standing taller and bigger and more frightening than I'd ever seen him before.
"Tell me, Nemesis. Do you think allowing me to fuck him out of you would help your chances at attending Northwestern?"
What? I pulled back, blinking. He still didn't believe me. There was nothing I could do or say to change his mind. He lifted his hand, stroking my cheek. Usually, I basked in his attention as though it were a glorious sunray on a December day. Tonight, his touch made me shiver, and not with excitement. I was still wet because he was there, because he was present, and because his eyes were on me. But it felt all wrong. My desire for him felt dirty and desperate. Doomed somehow. "I'm not lying to you," I said, biting my lower lip to keep it from trembling. "Why do you always think the worst of me?" He lowered his lips to mine and whispered,
"Because you're a Rossi."
I closed my eyes, inhaling venom, exhaling hope. I felt like I was drowning, even though I was standing in the middle of the foyer, in the arms of the man I was going to marry. I knew what I had to do just then to save him from hating me. I just wasn't sure if, by the end of it, I would still be able not to loathe him. Wolf was not going to believe me, and it was too late and too convenient to tell him that I was a virgin now. No, he had to learn that himself. "Take me," I whispered brokenly. "Sleep with me. Compromise me." I squeezed my eyes shut, feeling my pride leaving my body, evaporating like mist. Fuck Angelo out of me. He took a step back, and I could see the war raging inside of him. Too proud to accept my offering, and too angry to turn it down. "Please." I clung to the collar of his shirt, rising on my toes and plastering my body against his. His erection dug into my stomach and gave me false, stupid hope. "I want you."
"You want Angelo more."
I shook my head fiercely, kissing his jaw, the corner of his lips, his Cupid's bow. "You," I breathed. "Just you." He squeezed his eyes shut, took a deep breath, and stepped away from me. I clung harder to the fabric of his shirt, clutching him in a vice grip. "You're turning me down? Really?" I whispered against his neck, feeling his Adam's apple bob against my lips. His stubble and his tight muscles. Every inch of his body tried to fight it. Us.
"Get on your knees," he rasped, "and beg for me to fuck you."
I drew away from him, my eyes widening. "What?"
"You fucked another man at our engagement party. The second time you have fucked him since we got engaged. I want you to kneel and beg for me to fuck him out of you. And I am afraid that there is no other way around it, Nemesis,"
he said coldly, raising a thick, dark eyebrow, his jaw locked with rage. I was speechless. I cupped my mouth, stifling an agonized moan that had threatened to tear past my lips. His face remained indifferent, unaffected. I wondered how he could be so cruel to the woman he was going to promise his forever. There was no going back from what I was about to do, if, indeed, I was to do it. I wanted to turn around and walk away, but I knew without a shadow of a doubt that if I did that, we would be over. He needed to know that I didn't sleep with Angelo. And after lying to him that I had, multiple times, there was only one way to prove my innocence. The logic behind the idea was twisted, but so was Wolf. Our whole relationship was crazy. With an unsteady inhale, I began to lower myself to my knees in front of him. I pressed my eyes shut, determined not to see what was on his face as I stripped off my dignity for him. Mama used to say that pride was the most exquisite jewelry a woman could wear, even when you're naked. But Wolf had just ripped it from my neck, every pearl of confidence rolling on the floor. I bowed my head down, and when my knees touched the marble, a groan of pain and self-hatred escaped my mouth. "I hate you. I like you. I wish I could quit you." If I didn't show Wolf the truth, he'd make my life hell, or worse, throw me back to my parents, cancel our engagement, and make me the talk of the entire city of Chicago. He would use whatever he had against my father, and we would be poor, powerless, and defenseless without my father to protect my mama and me from poverty, the Irish, or the outfit's cutthroat society. I would lose everything. The choice not to kneel was never truly mine. I couldn't afford for this wedding not to happen, and I couldn't afford for my future husband not to believe me, as I knew it would make both of us miserable and hateful toward one another. The foyer was so silent I could hear the echo of my heartbeat ricocheting off the ceilings. I slanted my chin up and cracked my eyes open, meeting his punishing gray ones. We stared at each other for a few seconds, my fingers laced together at the small of my back. He was right. Kneeling for someone did make you feel like a peasant. The minute you willingly lowered yourself for someone else, they would never, ever look at you the same way, in or out of bed.
I will not take you by force.
His voice was a sharp-edged knife traveling across my nerves, nipping through, not cutting all the way in. I offer myself willingly, I said, my head bowed down.
Up.
I stood up.
Come to me and kiss me the way you did Angelo tonight.
I swallowed the sour bile rising in my throat. Hatred, humiliation, excitement, dread, and hope swirled in my chest. With my knees bumping into each other, I made my way back to him, pressing my lips to his as I wrapped my arms around his neck. My body hummed with dark energy. I wanted to devour him with rage and show him that I was innocent, that I was still untarnished, and that I was his. But I was met with such passive disinterest, I couldn't muster up the courage to do to him all the things I wanted to. He lowered his lips to meet mine, finally, and I thought he would reciprocate, but he just grinned into my mouth.
If that's how you kiss the man you want so desperately, I can see why Angelo didn't put up a better fight to win you.
That was when I lost it. I bit down on his lower lip, hard, raking my fingernails through his hair and tugging at the same time he tore the front of my dress by the cleavage, ruining the designer number completely. My skin burned and my back arched. I kicked out of the dress, crushed silk mounting under my heels, pulling him to me, wrapping myself around him like a deadly octopus. I was a black widow swallowing him whole. We wrestled each other furiously, stumbling toward the staircase and bumping into a hanging picture, a console table, and a statue. He hoisted me up and carried me upstairs, drowning my moans with kisses, suffocating his own groans of pleasure by biting my chin and lips and earlobes, bruising me with punishing lust, marking me with his envy. Ms. Sterling was in the hallway, watering the huge plants on the marble stands against the grand cream walls. When she saw us, biting and groaning at each other, me in his arms, mostly naked, she gasped, rushing toward the west wing. He bit my upper lip and drew it into his mouth, carrying me to my bedroom. Angelo seemed a lifetime away, out of reach, and as far away as the moon. Wolf was here, in the flesh, burning me like the sun. Deadly and infuriating, and I knew, I just knew, as lost as I was in his touch. I had no idea how he was going to deal with the aftermath of what was about to happen, but I did know that he was going to be humbled when this was all over. I was not a liar. I was not a cheater. I was his future wife. I tried to warn him, but he didn't believe me. When we reached my room, he kicked the door open and threw me on the bed. I laid there, staring at him with raised chin and what I hoped was confidence. I wanted to be arrogant and cold, even as he took me, even as I submitted to him, even when I gave him my most precious and only possession, a possession he most assuredly did not earn tonight. My virginity. He stuffed his hands in the pockets of his cigar pants and regarded me with disdain, assessing me now that we were completely alone. I was wearing nothing but my white bra and matching panties. I knew he liked what he saw because he had that darkened look in his eyes, the one that made the room hotter, the air dense like fur.
"Take everything off but the heels," he demanded.
"I'm not a stripper," I hissed, narrowing my stinging eyes at him. I'm your future wife. Strip me like you take your vows. Like you mean it, Senator Keaton.
Vows that obviously mean nothing to you, he said again, even more aloof.
He barely looked at me as he did, making a point.
Off, Francesca.
I grinned, gathering my courage. When my arm moved to my back, unclasping my bra, I could almost see his pulse quickening on the side of his neck. His face remained cool, even when I removed my underwear, remaining in nothing but my heels in my bed. He leaned down, still fully clothed, stared into my eyes, and brought his arm between us. He pressed the heel of his palm against my private area. I felt my wetness pushed against the dusting of hair there, damp and cool on the outside but hot from within.
I will say this one time, Francesca, then consider my conscience clean. If you don't tell me to leave right this minute, you will be devoured, wrecked, possessed, and owned for the entire night. I will fuck Angelo out of you, and then the rest of the idiots who were unfortunate enough to touch you and think there'd be a second time. I will not be considerate. I will not be compassionate. So if you're used to gentle lovers and hour-long spooning, say the word, and our verbal contract will be terminated.
And you will still marry me? I asked. His nostrils flared.
I will marry you, but you'd wish I wouldn't.
He thought I'd been with other men. I told him I was someone else, and he took my word for it. Who I really was didn't matter to him. Wolf went to extreme lengths to prove that to me. What struck me as peculiar, though, wasn't his words, but the situation. He was willing to forgive me, to honor our verbal agreement I allegedly broke, even though in his eyes, I'd slept with my former flame not once, but twice since we'd gotten engaged. He said he did not negotiate, yet he absolutely did. With me. Are you afraid to actually feel something if you touch me? I taunted. Your walls of icebergs are thawing, Senator.
10 seconds to decide, Nemesis.
You already know the answer.
Say it. 8.
I smiled, though inside I was crumbling. He was going to take my virginity, and by force. He thought I was already compromised, and to prove how wrong he was, I needed to let him hurt me the way it hurt him to see me with another man. I knew what it looked like. Angelo did touch me. He did lean against me. He did trace my hair with his fingers, moved his thumb across my lips. And then he snuck out of a room after having sex with someone else while I was MIA. The evidence was there, stacked against me.
5.
Try not to fall in love with me. I opened my thighs.
Francesca? 3.
It will be a terrible inconvenience, il mio amore, to love the wife you took in vengeance.
1.
Stay, I snapped, loud and clear. He advanced toward me and pulled me down by my waist so I was lying underneath him. I sucked in a breath as he put his hand on my neck and scooted up, caging me with his knees locking my thighs, still fully dressed.
Open my zipper.
I couldn't breathe, let alone work his zipper, so I just stared at him, hoping he would not misread my shock as defiance. But he did, of course he did. With a growl, he unzipped himself and pushed down his pants. I didn't dare glance down and see what was waiting for me. My heart pounded so fast and hard, I thought I was going to puke. I quickly assembled all the information I had on lovemaking and decided that I'd be okay. I was aroused, wet where I needed to be, and in the hands of the most desirable man in Chicago. With his pants around his knees, he slid one finger into me, his face void of emotion. I inhaled and tried to look calm, even when the tears slammed into the back of my eyeballs again. It hurt. I wasn't sure what hurt more, the physical discomfort or the way he looked past me as though I was nothing but a body. The same way he had stared at Kristen. He popped his finger into his mouth and sucked on it, expressionless, then dipped his finger into me again, retrieved my arousal, and pushed it between my own lips. I was forced to taste myself, musky and sweet. I flushed red, my nipples puckering, so sensitive I wanted to rub them against his hard chest.
He used a condom.
He wiped the remainder of my wetness on my cheek. I wanted to cry until there was nothing left of me, but held back. He was about to find out the truth in a few short moments that I was telling the truth the first three times, so I told him what he wanted to hear. Yes.
At least you had the decency to do that. I will not be using one, but a morning after pill will be waiting on your nightstand first thing. See, having children with a leg-spreading whore is low on my to-do list. You will take the pill, no questions asked. Am I understood?
I closed my eyes, shame dripping down my body like sweat. I was agreeing to this, to all of this, consenting to his words, his actions, and his cruelty. I had, after all, gone down on my knees, begging for this moment to happen. Understood.
I would play with you a little, but you've been prepped by another, and I'm not in a generous mood.
He smirked darkly, and then, with one sudden thrust, he pressed his cock home, slamming into me with such force my back arched, my chest meeting his, and stars exploded behind my eyelids as pain pierced through me. He tore past the natural barrier of my body and was buried so deep inside me it felt like he was ripping me apart. The sting was so profound, I had to bite my lower lip to suppress a scream of sheer agony. My whole life, Clara and Mom warned me off tampons, bike riding, and I even had to wear thick breeches for my horse rides to preserve that which was so sacrosanct, so holy. Only to be met with this. Motionless, soundless, and tense under his body, the only clue that I was still conscious was the tears that began streaming down my face. I bit my lip hard so as not to make a sound. I am a rusty barbed wire, twisted together, knotted into a ball of fear.
Tight as a fist, he groaned, his feral voice meeting my complete silence as he thrust so hard, so fast, and so rough.
I thought he was going to slash me apart into minuscule shreds. My tears slid from my cheeks down to my pillow as he pushed deeper and deeper, and I could feel the walls of my virginity coming down and bleeding out of me. But I didn't tell him to stop, and I didn't confess my virginity. I lay there and let him have me. He took my innocence with force, but I couldn't give him any part of my pride. Not even a small piece of it. Not after what occurred in the foyer. After a few thrusts, I forced myself to open my eyes and blurrily watched his impassive, angry face. Something seeped between us, covering my thighs, and I knew what it was. I prayed with everything I had in me that he didn't notice it yet. But he did. He noticed. His eyebrows snapped together and he registered my face, my tears, my agony for the first time.
Period.
I didn't answer. He pulled back from me carefully, his gaze dropping between us. There was blood on the inside of my thighs and on my white linen. I grabbed the collar of his shirt, drawing him back to me. I was desperate for his body to hide mine. Finish what you started, I rustled, exposing my teeth. I could feel the pulse of his heart against his chest. He was so close.
Francesca.
His voice was gruff and drenched with guilt. He brought his hand to my face to rub my cheek, but I slapped it away. I couldn't bear his new, tender tenor. I didn't want him to be gentle with me. I wanted him to treat me as his equal, with the same anger and lust and hatred I felt for him right now. Now do you believe me? I smiled bitterly through the tears that just kept coming down like rain, desperate to wash away the last few minutes. His frown smoothed, and he raised himself up from me, about to draw away, but I pulled him back to my body harder. It's done. I looked him in the eye and saw so much misery in them. I locked my ankles behind his back, caging him inside me. I decide how I want my first time to be. Finish this. Now. To my horror, more tears came through, and he licked them as he lowered himself back to me. His tongue rolled from my neck to the pillows of my cheeks, catching all the tears parachuting from my eyes.
Nem.
He tried reasoning with me. Shut up. I buried my face in his shoulder as our bodies connected, him driving into me again.
I'm sorry,
he whispered. His thrusts were gentle now, easing into me while brushing the tips of his fingers back and forth over my outer thigh, a leisured, intimate gesture that was nothing more than a sweet lie. The heel of my foot rubbed the fabric of the pants he never bothered to remove. I knew that he wanted to try and finish to get it out of the way. I also knew that it was too late to minimize the damage. After a few minutes of dull pain, he began to up the pace. His face grew tight and his eyes darkened, and that was when I could bear to look at his features again without feeling like he shoved a knife into my chest every time he pushed into me. He finished deep inside me, the warmth of his lust conquering every part inside me. I clung to his shoulders, feeling frayed and tattered beneath him, my lower body so wounded it almost felt numb. He levered up so he could look at me, staring at my face without meeting my eyes. We stayed silent for a few moments, him still on top of me. He didn't ask me why I didn't tell him I was a virgin earlier. He knew. Finally, he rolled off me. I scooted away and stood up, covering myself in a lavender satin nightgown I retrieved from the back of my desk chair. He sat on my bed behind my back, bent forward, looking a little stunned. His face blank, his shoulders hunched. A far cry from the brash, asshole, future husband I knew, who always oozed overconfidence. I didn't blame him for his silence. Words seemed too insignificant for what happened here tonight. I took my cigarette pack from my nightstand and lit one up right inside his house. It was the least he owed me. He knew, and I knew, that if he tried to give me affection, I wouldn't be able to live it down. I have an early day tomorrow. My final dress fitting, then shopping for college, I said, taking a seat at my desk overlooking the garden I'd loved the way I'd wished I could love my future husband. Wholly, and without expecting much back.
Nem.
His voice was so gentle I couldn't bear it. I propped my chin on my knuckles. His hands were on my shoulders now as he stood behind me, lowering his forehead to meet the crown of my head. He released a rugged breath that made my hair fly everywhere on my face. The room smelled of sex and metallic blood and desperation that wasn't there before. Leave, I said coldly. He kissed the top of my head.
I will never doubt you again, Francesca.
Leave, I screamed, pushing off the desk. The wheels of the chair hit his feet, but he didn't seem to care about the pain. He left after that, but what happened between us stayed in my room. When I woke up the next morning, two Advils, a morning after pill, a bottle of water, and a warm, wet washcloth waited on my nightstand. I instantly knew that Ms. Sterling was privy to what happened during the night. I took the Advils and the pill, drinking all the water. Then, I spent the rest of the day crying in my bed.
Wolf. I paced the east wing. Back, forth. Back, forth. Walking had never been so excruciatingly maddening. I wanted to kick down the door and barge inside. I barely had it in me to send Kristen a letter from my lawyer threatening to sue her for every penny she ever earned if she published the piece on me. I also knew I couldn't hold her back from dishing out the dirt for much longer, but again, did I care? Not one bit. Give her time. Sterling was shadowing my every movement like a fucking tail, as if I was going to force my way in. Done quite enough of that for a lifetime, Sterling. How much time? I barked. I was not well versed in the whole relationship gig. I was even less familiar with the world and feelings of teenage girls. Even as a teenager myself, I opted for more mature women. They didn't take me seriously, and there were no expectations to be met.
Until she feels well enough to leave her bedroom.
That could take weeks, I spat out. Francesca already proved to be able not to eat for long periods of time. If disobedience was a competitive sport, my future wife would make it to the Olympics and medal.
Then that's what you'll give her, Sterling said with conviction, signaling me with her head to leave Francesca's wing and come down to the kitchen with her.
I couldn't unsee the bloodbath between her legs or the way her thighs shook, twitched, and tensed under mine. I'd always had a talent for reading people. That was how I'd become a star politician, impeccable prosecutor, and one of the most formidable men in Chicago, which was at odds with the fact that I failed to notice my young, very sheltered, nervous fiancé was a virgin. I was so blinded with rage thinking she'd slept with Angelo that I didn't take her word for it. And she, the smart, sensitive, gorgeous vixen that she was, served me with a healthy slice of humble pie, making me finish every bite of what I'd started. I should have seen it from miles away. She came from a strict Italian family and went to church every Sunday. She simply wanted me to see her as more worldly and less of a naive little mouse. Unfortunately, it worked. Too well for her liking. The weight of my guilt sat squarely on my shoulders. I shredded her savagely, and she met me, thrust for thrust, her eyes on mine, her tears fierce but silent. I thought she was guilty and angry with emotion. I hadn't realized I was bulldozing through walls I had no right bringing down. Traditionally, in Italian weddings in the outfit, the bridegroom was supposed to present the bloodied sheets to his peers. I had no doubt Arthur Rossi was going to die a slow, painful, internal death if I sent her sheets his way 6 days before the wedding. There was no mistaking what happened here, and there was no confounding Francesca suffered every moment of it. But somehow, and despite my worst intentions, I couldn't bring myself to do that to her. I retired to my study, resisting the urge to check in on her. I wasn't entirely sure I should give her time, but I no longer trusted my instincts when it came to her. Typically, a cruel and calculated creature, I'd lost control several times in the past month, all of them because of my young bride-to-be. Maybe it was best to take my housekeeper's advice and let her be. I opted to work at home that day on the off chance she'd leave her room. She'd missed her appointments, and when her mother came to pick her up to shop for her upcoming school year, Sterling sent her away, albeit with a carrot cake, explaining that Francesca was suffering from a terrible migraine. Mrs. Rossi looked distraught as her driver pulled away from the curb. Through the window of my study, I caught her trying desperately to call her daughter. Still, I didn't have it in me to feel sorry about what happened to anyone who was not my future wife. The day passed, as bad days do, significantly slow.
All the meetings I'd summoned to my house turned beneficial and productive, however. I'd even managed to squeeze in a conference call with my public relations manager and his assistant, something I'd postponed for weeks. When I finally left my office, it was well past dinner time. I ate in the kitchen, not meeting Sterling's judgmental gaze. She sat across from me, her hands in her lap, staring at me as though I'd just mauled a baby. In a sense, that was exactly what I had done. Any more great ideas? Maybe I should send her back to her parents? I snarled when it became apparent she was not going to stop looking at me. You should definitely not do that. It was the first time Sterling spoke to me in that tone. Even when I was a child, she did not treat me like one. She did now. I'm not going to wait for her to come out any longer. You shouldn't have waited a minute, she agreed, sipping my fine scotch. Things were dire between Francesca and me if Sterling resorted to drinking. She hadn't drunk an alcoholic beverage in 2 decades. Then why did you tell me to wait? I flipped over the plate with the prime rib, sending it flying across the kitchen. It crashed against the wall. I wanted you to suffer the way she did. She shrugged, standing up and walking out of the kitchen, leaving me to stew in the fact that I did, in fact, suffer. I fixed myself a glass of bourbon, heavy on the rocks, and made my way to the east wing. Nem's bedroom door was closed, and I pushed it halfway open without knocking, out of habit, before thinking better of it. I brushed my knuckles over the oak wood of her door. May I come in? My voice felt stiff and rigid. I did not ask for permission to do anything, and I was not fond of the idea of making it a habit. No answer. I pressed my head to the hard surface and closed my eyes, breathing in traces of her scent, the mandarin shampoo she used, the sweet vanilla lotion that made her skin glow. The thought she was so sore she might have needed to go to the doctor's today flashed through my mind, accompanied by an even more unsettling idea. Francesca wouldn't tell me if she was too sore. She would cling to the remainder of her pride, the same pride I stripped off her viciously in my quest to avenge something that did not really happen. I pushed the door open, finding my fiancé splayed on her 4-poster bed, staring at nothing. I followed her line of vision. It was a blank spot on the wall that captured her attention. She did not so much as blink when I stepped in. I made my way to her, sat on the edge of her bed, and took a sip of my bourbon, handing it over to her. She ignored both me and the drink. I'm sorry, I rasped. Go away, she groaned. I'm not sure that's an option, I admitted frankly. The more you think about what happened, the more you'll hate me. I should hate you. I took another sip of my drink. I wasn't going to argue my defense. It was inexcusable whether she told me she was a virgin or not. That may be true, but we'd both suffer if you do. And although I deserve my fair share of suffering, I said, and she cut through my words. Yes, yes, you do. I do, I agreed, my voice too soft for my ears to believe it was mine. But you don't. You've done nothing wrong. And while I'm not a good man, I'm not a terrible one either. She looked down at her hands, inspecting them as she tried not to cry. The fact that I knew how Francesca's almost crying face looked like proved that I'd been less than an ideal fiancé to her. Why didn't you tell me you were a virgin? She chuckled, shaking her head. You'd already made up your mind about me before I even opened my mouth at the masquerade. And frankly, I didn't much care what you thought of me. But yesterday, I told you. No, I repeatedly told you I didn't sleep with Angelo. 3 times. So I think the better question is, why didn't you believe me? I gave it some thought. It made disliking you easier.
What a coincidence! Your actions made me dislike you fiercely.
She crossed her arms over her chest, looking away. I do not dislike you anymore, Nemesis. I didn't hate her. I respected her, even more so since she didn't let her pride get in the way yesterday. She got down on her knees to prove a point, that I was a bastard, and that she was speaking the truth. I took her purity and knew that in order to fix this, I would need to give her some of my own pride. A price beyond anything I'd ever agreed to pay, a security deposit to make sure I could keep my fiancé not only physically, but in the same mental state from prior to our engagement party. The same fiancé who rubbed her soft little body all over mine in her vegetable garden every evening, gasping in awe every time I accidentally touched her clit through the fabric of her dress. Put your hands above your head, I said, turning around to face her. She arched an eyebrow, still staring at the wall. If you continue staring at it, I'll have to give you a good reason to. Such as? I piqued her interest. That was my in. I'm thinking about a life-size portrait of myself. My idea of a nightmare, she mumbled, with Sterling standing above my seated figure, holding one of her novels. She bit her lower lip, stifling a smile. You're not funny, Senator. Oh, that may be, but I'll have plenty of time to find your brand of humor. Hands above your head, Nem. She turned her head to look at me, her eyes two pools of misery. Misery I created, adding drops of it every single day I kept her here. I didn't look away. I faced the result of my sins. I'm still sore. She was first to break the eye contact, looking down. I know, I whispered. I'm asking you to trust me.
Why should I trust you?
Because if you stop trusting, you'll end up like me, and that's a miserable existence. Hesitantly, she curled her fingers around the edge of the headboard. My heart squeezed at the implication of her obedience. She wore the same simple pastel lilac nightgown that she'd covered herself with yesterday. It rode up her smooth, milky white thighs. I dragged my hand from my knee to her inner thigh, massaging the sensitive area for a few minutes, loosening her bundled muscles. At first, she was as stiff as a stone, but when I moved to the other thigh and she realized I wasn't going to go anywhere north without her permission, she began to relax under my hands. I won't hurt you, I assured her, sliding her underwear gently down her thighs. In the bedroom, I finished.
You did yesterday,
she pointed out. And I apologize for that. From here on out, I'll make sure it will always be good for you.
You said you don't care about making it good for women.
I said those words before I nearly raped you. Not that I actually did in the eyes of the dry law. She asked for it. She begged for it. Got down on her knees for it, but it was to prove a point. We both knew she didn't enjoy it. We both knew I took something from her I did not deserve. Her eyes met mine as I spread her thighs, sliding my thumbs toward her slit and rubbing circles in the sensitive area near her groin. I did not bow down to anyone, much less a Rossi, but I wasn't bowing down to Nemesis. I was merely making my own point, that sex was great, if done right, and if both participants were on the same wavelength. Don't move your hands, I ordered, my voice hardening with lust. I saw her chest rising and falling in a mix of anticipation and fear. I could work with that. Her legs quivered with adrenaline before I even laid my tongue on her. I slid her nightgown up and tossed it over her shoulder, exposing her pink, coin-like nipples. Wretchedly gorgeous, wickedly innocent,
irrevocably mine. After she was completely exposed to me, I took off my shoes, socks, dress pants, blazer, and dress shirt until I remained with nothing but my black Armani briefs. Another thing I didn't do often, get naked in front of a woman. Sex wasn't indulgent. For me, it was an outlet. I rarely fucked my flings in a bed, opting for quickies. And even when I did, it usually didn't last past my climax. Nemesis stared at my hard-on through my briefs, curiosity and dread swimming in her cerulean eyes. "Do you want to see it?" She nodded, blushing. Something inside me burned hot. "Would you like to see all of me? You will not have to touch me. Tonight's all about you." She swallowed, biting the corner of her lower lip. Carefully, I took down my briefs, standing completely naked in front of her. I couldn't remember the last time that happened and tried to reason with myself that the concept of marrying someone forced you into lowering your walls, but that didn't mean they were going to be broken. There was going to be a lot of bathroom and jacuzzi and shower and mirror sex in the years to come. It made no difference if she saw me naked today, tomorrow, or in a month. I joined her in her bed and settled between her legs, cupping her cheeks. I lowered myself down to her and kissed her, gently at first, before squeezing her jaw open, wrestling my tongue against hers, licking the corners of her mouth, and sucking her lower lip the way that drove her crazy. Her muscle memory kicked in instantly, and she remembered all the times before last night. She moaned, responding to my peace offering by removing her hands from the headboard and tracing my jaw with her fingers. I took her wrists and placed her hands back on the headboard. "Patience, Nem, is a virtue."
"Which I don't have."
She momentarily forgot that she was mad at me, grinning like the sweet teenager she was. "Which you'll have to learn, being the wife of a senator." I chucked her under the chin. That was my M.O. Then kissed her again with more abandon and passion and fury. She gave in to me completely, and I trailed my kisses down her neck and between her breasts before taking one of her nipples and sucking it into my mouth. It pebbled between my teeth, and I tugged at it softly enough not to scare her, but her body still jerked in fear. I moved to the other nipple, rubbing the one I'd just sucked with my thumb, and when she braced herself for the same treatment, I licked a pattern around it, blowing cold air on the sensitive, wet skin. She shuddered against me, another groan slipping past her lips. Francesca was a tentative woman, and I had no doubt, despite the poor introduction I'd given her to sex, she would be a fast learner. I slid my tongue down the center of her chest, dipping it inside her navel, then began to trace wet kisses on her inner thighs and just above her slit. I knew by the patches of faded, dry blood marking her thighs that she'd yet to take a shower since yesterday. It seemed fitting that I would lick her better, tasting my own semen on her skin, knowing that it was awfully unhygienic, but that I couldn't ask her to shower. Not for me. She groaned, thrusting her groin into my face, her knuckles whitening with the strain it put her under not to touch me. "Hold still."
"Sorry."
Something that sounded a lot like a giggle fell from her luscious lips. I loved that she let me do this to her despite the bastard I'd been to her so far. I didn't find it docile. It showed that she had courage and the guts to face me in bed after all. I also loved that she was so innocent, neither waxed nor groomed for sex. I slid my hands to the back of her thighs and grabbed her ass cheeks, elevating her up as I started licking a shallow trace along her slit. It was red and engorged from yesterday, and I hated myself with a passion I usually reserved for her father. You're delicious, I said hoarsely.
Oh,
she squeaked above me, panting.
This is... wow. Yeah.
I slid my tongue between her folds. I hadn't gone down on a woman in over a decade, but if someone was worth tasting, it was my future wife. Her body coiled a little at first, then loosened as she spread her thighs wider and let me push my tongue all the way in, fighting against the tightness of her pussy. She was tense, not surprising considering everything she went through yesterday, and still extremely small. The idea of thrusting my fat cock into her again and soon made my erection strain against her bloodied linen. I felt it throbbing, my pulse smashing against my balls. After a few minutes of licking her, I flicked my tongue in and out of her. She moaned, her body rocking with pleasure as she became looser and less self-conscious. She peeked at me, cracking open one eye. Her hip met my face time after time as she chased my tongue, her nipples so hard I couldn't help but play with them simultaneously. I put pressure on her clit, sucking and swirling my tongue around it for long minutes, prolonging her orgasm every time she was close by abandoning her clit and licking at a stain of blood on her inner thigh. After 20 minutes, I decided she could have her climax. I closed my lips on her little nub and sucked it so hard she screamed. Francesca quaked around my face as her first orgasm shot through her, and her hands left the headboard, finding my hair and yanking at it brutally. I felt the burn in my scalp but didn't relent. Instead, I reached for my bourbon and fished out an ice cube, sucking the alcohol out of it before sliding it between the sore lips of her pussy as I drew her clit with less ferocity now, sending her into another climax that crashed into her and made her moan so loud the windows nearly rattled. There were two more orgasms after that.
"Can you teach me how to touch a man?"
she asked when we were done, and she was propped against the headboard, me beside her, still naked and hard. "No," I deadpanned. "I can teach you how to touch me. Touching other men in this lifetime is not looking good for you, Nem." It was stupid to think about that kid, Angelo, at that moment. The need to make him go away hit me somewhere dark and primal. I spared her the part where he set her up and made me believe that he actually fucked her. She'd had enough of a shitty night yesterday, thanks to yours truly. She wrapped the sheets around her body, tapping her chin, as if contemplating whether she should say the next thing.
"What you saw in the garden," she hesitated.
I wanted to tell her not to bother, but the truth was, I was interested to know what happened, where they'd both disappeared to.
"My father pushed me to talk to Angelo. After Bishop approached you, Angelo offered to take the conversation somewhere we didn't have to shout over other people's voices. I told him I didn't hate it here, which I guess was true until last night. He got upset and walked off. I went upstairs to my room, and on my way up, my cousin told me he slipped into a guest room with the blonde reporter who was trying to coax Bishop into an interview."
Kristen. The little witch set me up, and Angelo played along. I wondered if they knew how far I'd go. They were going to pay for that little stunt. Too bad the two assholes were taken with Francesca and myself. They'd make a fitting couple. Francesca chewed on a lock of her hair.
"My mom was in my room. I'd seen her from the garden, and we talked for a while."
Pause.
"My dad is cheating on her."
"I'm sorry," I said. "I was. Not for her parents. Her mother let me take her daughter away. But for Francesca herself, who had to deal with the fall of her family over a period of a few short weeks."
"Thank you."
There was no trace of hostility in Francesca's voice. God, she was sweet. And she was all mine. Not just her body, but also her words and her courage. I knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that my future wife's pussy was going to be on my daily menu from this day forward. I put my glass on her nightstand and turned around to her, pressing a kiss on her forehead. Go eat your dinner, Nem.
I'm not hungry.
She shifted and winced. She was still sore all over, and I made a mental note to have Sterling provide her with a new warm washcloth every night for the next week. You can't look famished at the wedding, I retorted. She sighed, rolling her eyes.
What's for dinner?
I was still sitting naked next to her, ignoring the vulnerability of my position. Intimacy was too awkward for my liking. Prime rib and sautéed asparagus. She scrunched her nose.
I think I'll pass.
Such a teenager. What do you feel like eating?
I don't know. Waffles? I don't normally crave sweet things, but I've had the worst day.
My nostrils flared. I was such a piece of shit to her. Diner down the road serves them. Thick and fluffy. Come on, we could use the fresh air.
It's 11 o'clock.
She shifted her gaze to her wristwatch, her teeth sinking to her lower lip with unease. It's open 24 hours.
Okay. Together?
I grazed her chin again. Yes, together.
You don't strike me as a waffle-eating man.
True, but I might eat you for dessert when we come back. It's been a while since I've done that, and quite frankly, pussy has never tasted as good as yours. She reddened in an instant, looking away.
Your compliments are strange.
I am strange.
You are,
she said, munching on her lower lip.
And that's the part of you I dislike the least.
I stood up, casually slipping into my clothes again. Much, much better. Less vulnerability, more barriers. Then something occurred to me. Tomorrow is your first day of college. Of course, Francesca opted to start college a week before her wedding. We were both relieved not to have to plan a sham honeymoon. Back when we had our verbal deal, we could barely pretend to stand each other.
Yeah, I'm excited.
She offered me a small smile, scurrying toward her walk-in closet and slipping into one of her dresses. Who's driving you? She didn't have a driver's license, and I hated her parents for never bothering to teach her. She was almost like a tropical fish to them. Gorgeous in her fancy aquarium, but they put no effort into nurturing her.
Smithy, of course.
Of course. My blood was still making its way from my dick back to my brain. Time?
8 o'clock.
I'll drive you.
Okay.
Okay, I repeated. I had absolutely no idea what came over me. Not about the waffles and not about driving her there. Up until now, I offered her independence only when she asked for it, dangling a demand over her head. If she did this, then she could have that. As we made our way downstairs, I noticed Sterling sitting at the kitchen table, reading a book and smiling. I bet she was quite smug, knowing I'd gone upstairs to get back in my future wife's good graces. I wiped my mouth, then licked my lips for traces of my fiancé. Not a word, I warned Sterling as Francesca went to get her jacket. She zipped her lips with her fingers. Francesca appeared at the kitchen door. I turned around, lacing her arm in mine. We poured into the starless Chicago night.
Villain?
Yes, Nemesis?
Do you think Smithy might be able to teach me how to drive?
She wanted her wings back. She had every right to them. I knew since I wanted her protected from everyone around her, including me. Fuck Smithy, Nem. I'll teach you.
Chapter 11. Francesca. The remaining week before our